This is the part where I say something funny before we start the show.
Usually.
Then like it's like right after the punchline, right after the zinger, you play the music and it works. It works well because like the music, it starts pretty high impact.
Yeah, it's got like a kind of boom to it.
Yeah, so it's like you don't. It's like oh, maybe it's like I haven't even recovered from that joke, and whoa. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for May 9th, 2014. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello.
His last name's also Minotti.
It's true.
It's true, LeFou. How's it going? We got plenty to talk about here with Nintendo, really. Not a great week for Nintendo.
No.
No, on a few
No,
fronts.
Not at all. I mean, when has there been a great week for Nintendo?
Yeah, but this has been especially bad. This has been an especially not good week for them. So yeah, we'll talk about that. But there are a few other things, some Elder Scrolls Online thingamajigs and other thingamajigs. So it'll be a fun day. Then we'll do our what we've been playing. Have you been playing much? Anything exciting?
It's Hearthstone. I'll talk about WildStar.
Oh, I thought you hated WildStar.
Well, it's in open beta, so I tried it again.
Oh, well, I guess we'll see if you still hate it or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll do that, then see what the community is up to. We got a little Star Wars discussion going there, and then we'll get some of the releases that came out this week, I guess, because we're a little later than usual, so all these games will be out already, but we'll talk about that a little bit, then that'll be the show. So let's get to the meat of this. We got Nintendo, and their big thing is they reported their sort of their quarter financials, and they weren't good. They're losing
nope.
money. They lost money again. The big sticking point, though, is that they have sold 6.17 million Wii U systems worldwide since the launch in November.
November of 2012.
Yeah. November, yeah. To give some context, I did this similar system launches that launched in November, and then, like, their second March, Xbox 360 had 8.3 million sales, so that was maybe closer, but still better. PlayStation 3 at 12.85 at the same time, and the Wii was at 24.45 million. The Wii. But then, you know, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I mean, PlayStation 4 has already surpassed that number with 7 million they've sold worldwide, and Microsoft hasn't said sold, but they've sent 5 million Xbox One to the store, so, you know, they're probably not too far behind. So yeah, basically Nintendo, the Wii U isn't doing great, obviously.
Nope.
And it is at a point where I don't think any one game's going to fix the problem. I said way back that if it wasn't the last fall where you had the 3D Mario game and whatever, I mean, I don't know what else you can do. Because, you know, that's the big chip to play, right, is the Mario games. And you launch with the 2D Mario game, you have the 3D Mario game. It's like, you know, well, there are things that will be big games. I mean, you have your Mario Kart and your Smash Brothers, really, but then after that, I mean, Zelda's always popular.
I still feel like you and I feel like, are the kind of unpopular voice in this, but I don't feel like Super Mario 3D World was, like, the be-all, end-all that some people made
it
out to be.
No, I thought it was being overrated by a few people. Hi, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I liked it, but, yeah, I just... It was kind of the first...
It was fine, it wasn't, like, amazing.
It was, like, yeah, it was like one of the first 3D Mario games I played in a while where there was, like, really nothing that wowed me about it. Like, it was very good. It was a very solid game. Like, even Mario Galaxy 2, which should have just been very similar to 1, was just... Had some weird charms to it where I was just totally entranced the entire time.
And I still think it all goes back to the fact that, again, they make this system, like, well, it's not going to be as powerful, but we're going to give it this tablet, so let's make the new Mario game. What do we do with this tablet? Multiplayer!
Yep.
Like, no!
Right, this pretty much, yeah, it doesn't use the tablet at all. And that's like Mario's calling card, is to justify whatever new thing the system can do. I mean, that's why...
Even Sunshine, like, the way it used the triggers for the... The water hose.
I was just
thing,
about to
like...
say that. Yeah, even Sunshine. Yeah, using that the sort of unique L and R buttons had that going for it. Galaxy was also using all the, you know, the motion control stuff. 64 is just a 3D game because hey, we can now. Mario 3D World was It's a good Mario game, but I don't think it brought any extra. I feel like, and yeah, sure, maybe a lot of people when they play it, they think it's a lot of fun, but like, you just show people that. First off, the same problem as the Wii U, the name is just confusing. Or Super Mario 3D World, what does that mean? Was it not in 3D before?
Like, isn't it kind of true that by making it like so multiplayer heavy, it's like, okay, you only have a friend who buys it, and you're going to go over to his house and play it, and your instinct isn't going to be, well, I got to go buy a Wii U now and play this game. It's going to be like, yeah, whenever I come over, I'll play this with him, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, maybe that multiplayer thing is a little detrimental. But, I don't know. Like I said, that concept worked fine for me on the portable, the sort of, like, having the overworld and, like, these very small 3D levels. That made a lot more sense to me on a 3DS than it did on a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
With the isometric view and the fixed camera and all that stuff. But, I mean, yeah, so, like, you know, Mario Kart will do good and Smash Bros. Will do good for what the install base is. I don't know how many... I mean, come on, how many people are going to buy a new Nintendo system for the 8th Mario Kart game? It's one of those things where right. If you have that system, yeah, you get Mario Kart. I don't know if it sells systems. I don't know if anybody's like, yeah, I was holding off on the Wii U, but now that the Mario Kart is out, Smash Brothers maybe, because that's, I don't know, it seems to me like that's more of an event. Maybe it's just because I like Smash Brothers a lot.
Well, Smash Brothers will at least appeal to the hardcore. Like, you know, even in a way that a new Mario doesn't, but... I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like even if at E3, if they're a Nintendo Direct or whatever, like, they come out and they're like, here's the new Zelda. Like, what's it gonna do that's really gonna make you be like, oh, shit.
I mean, people...
Now, yes.
I mean, I love Zelda. People don't really like bringing up. It's not like the Zelda games are, like, really, like... They're not on Grand Theft Auto level of, you know, selling recently.
Right, right. Everyone talks about how... Yeah, everyone talks about how you buy the Nintendo system for the Nintendo games, and yeah, they've never had good third party. You know, during the GameCube era, you maybe could blame that on the fact that the controller was a little different and that made it a little harder to port games.
But, GameCube era?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, that's what you said. I was just a little confused. It's almost okay. Kind of like more of a Nintendo 64 problem with the controller.
Well, yeah, it goes back to all that. Could you imagine... If Nintendo said, you know what, we are going to compete with Sony and Microsoft, we you know, pretend the Wii U never happened. Let's just say, like, you know, we're going to launch this new Nintendo system that's going to have an x86 architecture, blah, 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 everything equal. We're going to have, you know, all the third-party games that are going to look just as good in those, but you also get Nintendo games. Isn't that how you win?
No, I don't. I know some people say they need to launch a new system ASAP. I think that would be
no. I'm not saying they should. I'm saying it's too late for that.
Well, yeah.
Saying that's what they should have done.
Yeah, but okay. But to kind of go on that kind of thought process, anyways, like the people are like, oh, they just need to announce a new system. I mean, I know that it's not selling great, but you still have 6 million people who have bought a Wii U now.
And you can't piss them off. They're your loyal customers.
Yeah, you can't just. I mean, you get them, hey, you bought that system, and you bought the new Mario, and the new Mario Kart, and the new Smash Bros., and guess what? we're starting over again.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, it's bad. It's not like... I guess if there's a bright side, it's not absolute disaster bad yet. Like, they could still make... You know, there's still hope of, I don't even know if there's hope of fairing profit, but it's not Dreamcast bad where they're just going to give up support in a year or so. Maybe they will, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, if anything's going to... You know, their big thing now is that they're going to finally make a game with toys, like the Skylanders or Disney Infinity. And they basically... I mean, they busted that info out probably ahead of E3, just like to tell people, probably just so that the investors wouldn't completely lose their shit.
Right.
And they say... You know, it's weird because the Wii U has had this capacity... Since launch, and all they've done with this so far is that stupid Pokemon game that no one liked. And, I mean, what a waste of opportunity there to... I mean, if anything made sense, it'd be Pokemon and that, and they make it, like, this weird... I don't even know what it was.
But doesn't the failure of that game kind of cast a shadow of doubt over this?
Yeah, sure. Well, hey, there's a shadow of doubt over almost any new venture Nintendo does right now. That's what happens.
That's true.
I mean, if there's a shadow of doubt, I mean, you gotta proceed anyways. For sure. But I mean, that's kind of the thing, though. It's like, okay, you're going to make a game like Disney Infinity and Skylanders with Nintendo-themed, characters. What is the game? That's what I'm
curious. Right, well, aren't they saying it's multiple games?
Well, is that, like, what Disney Infinity is?
No, no, I mean literally, like, you might use your Mario in this game and get him these skills, and then a new game comes out and you use your same Mario and some of his stuff from the other game carries over. That's how I read it.
Weren't they trying to say that with, like this, you could transfer, like, your character from Smash Bros. 3DS and Wii U? I wonder if this would use that. Or maybe you would have a Mario, and, like, that Mario goes to the next Mario baseball game. And I don't know.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's not that exciting.
Right. These games, I don't think they're going to be very good games. They're going to be, like, I don't know, a bunch of minigame collections.
That's the thing. Like, it can't be Nintendo Land 2.
Right.
Toys.
And I feel like that's what it's going to be.
Like, it needs to. And I'll tell you why it just sounds weird. Because usually when Nintendo does something that saves the company, it's a new idea. It's not, we're going to do what this other popular thing did. You know?
Right.
It's not like Nintendo made a guitar game in 2006. They had the Wii, so it's, it's a weird thing.
Waiting for them to announce that subscription service to the virtual console.
I still think that's the answer. I still think that's what you do.
It's at least a good short-term solution to get some money coming in.
Like, how can that not, don't put it on the 3DS. Put it on the Wii U only. Tell people, hey, you want to have, like, streaming access to, like, every Nintendo, NES, Super Nintendo, and 64 game, yeah, pay $10 a month, get a Wii U. There you go. I don't see...
Yeah.
That seems attractive to me.
Yeah. All compatible with the gamepad, so you could play them any room in your house.
I mean, 'cause that's
absolutely.
Because that's what it's almost kind of becoming about right now. For a lot of people, with the Netflixes and all that things, it's not so much about, oh, I'm going to go to a store and buy this movie or buy this game and take it home and play it for 2 months. You know, it's like, I'm going to browse this giant digital thing of all these things I have immediate access to and just see which one strikes my fancy.
Right.
And I still don't think we have a game equivalent of that. And I think whoever does it first is going to make all the money. And really, one of the few people who has the backlog to just do it right now is Nintendo.
And like I said, it doesn't even have to be streaming, because a Nintendo game's a couple megabytes. It could just be downloads, just as long as your subscription's active, you have access. They could literally flip a switch, and as long as your account's good, anything on that virtual console, download it.
Like that one, like the thing people say, like, oh, what about people who bought the virtual console version? Like, all right, well, then they have that game forever anyways, and whatever. It's not like the virtual console store on the Wii U is so great right now anyways.
Yeah, and we abandoned the Wii virtual console already, so it's not like there's no precedent for it.
Right, yeah, so... I don't know, that seems to be the answer to me. So besides all that other interesting...
Wait, real quick before we move on. Well, how much longer can Iwata stay there, do you think?
I don't... That's a good question. I'm kind of surprised he still is. I mean, there's gotta be a point...
Based on my knowledge of Japanese companies, which is admittedly limited, isn't this usually the point where he steps down?
It seems like it. Yeah, it seems like even more so in Japan than America, there's like a big responsibility thing with the CEO.
Didn't he like declare that they were going to profit X amount of dollars in 2013? Then he's like, oh, I'm wrong. It's actually going to be a loss. And then he was way off on the loss.
It seems like nobody has really... paid for the Wii U mistake yet, you know? And usually somebody does. Usually there's some sort of firing. For no other reason than to, you know, kind of appease the investors. Like, you know, oh yeah, this person's gone, so it won't happen again. And it's like, right now, if they made a new system or they do their health system, whatever, it's like, well, you got the same people doing it.
Yeah.
There's kind of a lack of faith there, you know? And I mean, the problem is the Wii U had so many problems that were so predictable about it. Kind of half-assed online support, the third-party problem, the graphical problem, just the problem. What everybody said, well, once games start coming out on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, then they're not going to start porting them to the Wii U. That happened. It's like it's like everyone saw this shit coming, except for Nintendo.
Well, even games that are coming out in the 360 and PS3 aren't coming to Wii U. Look at Watch Dogs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's going to be happening more and more. All right. So the another bad news for Nintendo was...
Yeah, well, hey, whenever they're desperate, they got one well they could always dig up.
No, this is the bad news still before we get there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because they hate gay people now.
Oh, yeah, whoops.
So there's a Nintendo game called Tomodachi Life, which I don't quite understand. It's like a life simulator for the 3DS. that's somehow different from, like, Animal Crossing. And I don't know, is the game coming to America? Is that why it's getting so much more attention here all of a sudden?
It's either out in America or it's, like, out in Europe and it's coming to America or something like that.
It's definitely not out in America yet. Anyways, it's Life Simulator and you can, like, marry women in the game. But you can't marry, you know, same sex, if you will. And a lot of people were kind of, you know, upset about this and they did a petition. And, you know, that's one thing. It's not, like, all that unusual, right? A game where you'd only have same-sex marriages. You know, as wrong or right as it is, it happens. But, like, Nintendo responded to, like, the petition, just kind of made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
By trying to do this, like, whole thing where they're like, you know, we just didn't want to make a political statement. And, you know, that's all.
It's just a game.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's all right. And it's like, you know, well, you're making the statement by not doing it, is what everyone's saying. So they kind of just made that whole situation worse and got people upset. So yeah, bad week for Nintendo. But very coincidentally, they announced the new Pokemon game. I wonder why.
No, now you watched the trailer, yes, and I use the term loosely.
Well, no, because I mean, I saw that it was just, I mean, it was what it was. It wasn't really much of a trailer.
Yeah, it was literally just the box art and some words. Yeah, there wasn't even music. It's like they forgot to put the music in, which the whole thing leads me to think that they literally had this idea like last week.
Well, I don't think anyone's surprised that they're doing. I think they've been working on this. I think it was obvious they were going to do this. There were even hints in X and Y about this, if you remember, because there's a lot of references to the region that Ruby and Sapphire take place. Yeah, they're remaking Ruby and Sapphire, and I mean it's kind of the pattern. Because they remade the Red and Blue, they used. After Ruby and Sapphire came out, they used that engine to remake Red and Blue. And then, then after Diamond and Pearl came out, they used that engine to remake Gold
and Silver.
Gold and Silver.
So yeah, like one presumes that it will be the same, you know, engine as X Y. They didn't say that, but one would assume. Well, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Well, I mean that's what it is. It's the X and Y engine, and they're porting Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire too, which is cool.
It's just funny too because that trailer is like a whole new land to explore, a whole new adventure, and I'm like, it's not whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of weird wording, but I mean, you know, that'd be fine. I mean, for so many of us, I mean, I don't really remember much of what happened in Ruby and Sapphire, so it'll practically be new to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ruby and Sapphire isn't a lot. It's interesting because it is kind of the. It's often sort of the forgotten Pokemon generation, right? Because everyone really liked Red and Blue. That was a phenomenon. Then Gold and Silver, to a lot of people, is still maybe the best one just in terms of the scope of it. It was a very big game. Then Ruby and Sapphire, you don't really remember quite as much for whatever reason. Like, I couldn't name a gym leader from Ruby and Sapphire if my life depended on it. But I mean, how it's more Pokemon. Those are always fun. So, yeah, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, they'll probably make $1 zillion. I mean, Nintendo basically has to. You may as well.
Oh, sure.
I mean, hey, when you don't have many wells producing water, you may as well drain the ones that are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get them for all they're worth while they're going. So Pokemon's hitting. Of course, brings up the question, why don't we just fucking make a real Pokemon game for the Wii U? Because that might actually be a system
seller. Oh, you mean the thing the fans been asking for like 7 or 8 years? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would destroy the social nature of the Pokemon experience.
Do you not know that people have social experiences on consoles? That happens.
No, but the face-to-face interaction in our game with a full suite of internet connectivity, I might add.
No one cares. No, you don't have to build your fucking game around recess period.
I think that's kind of like, in a lot of ways, Nintendo's fundamental problem. It's like that episode of The Simpsons when his brother makes cars.
The Homer.
It's not that you're giving the people what they want. You're telling them what they want, but it's not what they want.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's definitely a slight disconnect with whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I said, I still think Nintendo makes great games, and I still, you know.
I got my Mario Kart pre-order in.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. I'm going to love Smash Bros. I'm sure the next Zelda is going to be amazing. They just need some better management right now, I think. And I don't think it's Iwata. All right, so let's talk about what non-Nintendo is happening.
Where'd my list go? What do we want to talk about first?
The articles online got delayed.
Yeah, the console version's delayed by 6 months. So they've put out a weird olive branch that, of course, I don't know why companies do this. It raises more questions than answers, and of course they're not answering those questions. So what they said they'd do, because they feel bad that you waited for your Elder Scrolls and now you're not going to get it. If you want, you can get the PC Mac version of Elder Scrolls Online. And then when the console version does come out, they'll let you buy a digital copy of your console version of choice for $20 and transfer your character to that console version. Like a one-time right. character transfer.
Okay, so it's kind of weird to me. So, because
I'm sorry. And you get 30 days of free game time when you do that as well.
I guess I probably didn't know this, but maybe I forgot. I wasn't entirely aware that the different platforms are going to be separate. It's not like Final Fantasy 14.
Correct.
Kind of weird.
That probably has a lot to do with Microsoft, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
It does. But of course, here's the questions everybody has. Okay, so if I do that, do I have to maintain two separate subscription fees to continue playing on both platforms, or does one fee cover it? Because I actually asked that months ago and was told no, that every platform would have its own subscription. But this seems to fly in the... I was told that by customer support. But now with this deal, you're telling me to buy both. You're giving me 30 days of free game time.
There's no way. They can't. But of course, make people do that. No one would do that.
But they haven't explicitly answered it. Then, of course, is my bank transferring with my character? If I have the digital Imperial Edition, do those items transfer? Like, they haven't answered that. Then there's the people who said, but I was going to get the physical Imperial Edition for PS4. What am I supposed to do? And they don't have an answer for that. Like, it's a good idea. The intention's right, but they didn't do much to clarify a lot of the concerns that immediately popped up. Like, they have done no follow-up with this.
Weird,
the forum,
it's very weird when you're a month from that launch, and you're like, we need 6 more months. Like, whoa, that bad, huh?
Yeah.
Jesus, what's happening?
Yeah, it's weird. Like I said, the post on their site about this says, like, discuss it here in the forums. And there's, like, a huge thread. Everyone's like, well, how does this work? And there's no answers. Like, come on. Don't do this shit.
Yeah, sounds like a disaster.
I'm sure it'll be fine. It's just, like, companies do this all the time. Like, just answer the questions. They're basic questions.
Well, because, Dave, they're not answering them. I think they don't know the answer.
I guess. It's like the Xbox One announcement all over again.
No, that's not... That was
I mean, not thing. That bad, but you know what
That
I mean.
Was epic. That was... Yes. Man, that was the most epic clusterfuck in...
Hey, speaking of epic...
Yeah. Good
transition, Mike. They've announced the new Unreal Tournament. It's just called Unreal Tournament. It runs on the Unreal Engine 4, and it's completely free. Not free to play... Free.
I'll tell you what, Unreal Tournament, it's not like one of the series I think of as something I like a lot, but whenever I play it, I always have fun.
Oh, yeah. The intention here is that it is completely moddable, and they're going to have, like, an in-game store so that people could sell mods and things like that, and then Epic will take a cut.
Oh, but it's not, like, free-to-play. It's just free.
No, like, there's no microtransactions. Like, yeah, the actual game, Unreal Tournament, is completely free.
Yes. So basically, is it like a remake of Unreal Tournament? It's just like the next Unreal Tournament.
This is the next Unreal Tournament. This sounds like their way of Trojan horsing Unreal Engine 4 into its own platform, where you literally can open up Unreal Tournament, go to the store, and download games that are, you know, basically full blown mods.
Right? Because I mean, you'll have people will make their Counter-Strike late game, and they'll make a Team Fortress. Like game and all that great
right
stuff.
And if they decide to charge for that, then Epic cakes their cut, and it's just like Apple. I think it's super smart on their part.
Right It could be cool. I think it's a neat idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else
real quick? So the world of EVE Online continues to be weird.
No.
Did you see about the monument they built in Reykjavik in Iceland?
Oh, I did hear about this.
So they made the monument for EVE players, and some people already defaced it, and they figured out who it was, and so these three people have been permanently banned from EVE, like everything. EVE and Dust 514 and the events and everything. They're just
there you go.
Gone.
It's like a whole weird culture I don't understand, but hey.
It's hardcore. You saw the new game they announced, right? They're making another first-person game for PC. That's going to have, like, a PvE element to it in addition to PvP.
Right.
They kind of admit, like, Dust514, like, wasn't that great, but they're still going to support it.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I wasn't even sure that was out.
No, it's out. It's just, it kind of came at the end of the PS3 life cycle. It's on the wrong platform, because your fans are on PC.
Yeah, I've played it. It's not bad. It's a weird thing in general.
Yeah. And the final thing I was going to say real quick is that they're going to apparently nerf hunters a little bit in Hearthstone. They're increasing the mana cost of hounds.
Well, they have. They've done it.
Is it done? Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, hounds cost 3 mana instead of 2, which I don't know if that'll be enough. Because yeah, no. hunters have a pretty hunters just have too many combos right now with a lot of them because of hounds. You just get really punished if you play too many minions against them.
Yeah, that was their thing. It's like they didn't want to punish you for playing cards because that's the whole point of the game.
Right. So yeah, that's probably a good move. All right, so talk to me. What would you say you're playing?
WildStar open beta.
Do you still hate it?
I don't hate it. I just don't like it. Well, I don't know. It's weird. Like I said before, from my impression of the closed beta when the NDA was lifted. Yeah, it's a super pretty game, but it just doesn't feel cohesive to me. It's like, oh, we got these furry guys, and let's make some robots, and these guys have rabbit ears, and like, it's just like throwing shit at the wall until there's just like all this color. Like, you know, everyone complains like, oh, games are all brown. This is like the other end of that, where it's like, okay, hang on, I can't even see what's going on, because it's like so much shit everywhere. I mean, it does look pretty. You know, everything's very well animated, I'll give it that.
Right.
It just... Like, the gameplay, it's just a hotbar MMO. Yeah, there's some positioning involved, and it's not, like, it's not quite as, like, cooldown heavy as WoW, but it's still, you know, there's still cooldowns. I don't know.
So, like, if you're gonna play that kind of hotbar MMO, you probably wouldn't replace Final Fantasy with this, or WoW.
Oh, no, me personally, no way.
Right.
And then it's just like, okay, so this drives me nuts. You've, in the past, poo-pooed how, like, they make a big deal that an MMO is fully voiced.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, who cares, whatever. You know what's worse than that? A partially voiced MMO.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
But here's what happens. Every time a character goes to talk, their chat bubble says one thing, and the voice is saying another completely different thing. So you're trying to, like, read one thing but listen to this other thing, because if you don't read the thing, it disappears.
I'm
just like constantly like, which one is it? Like, which one matters? Drives me nuts.
I am so over the fully voice acting thing. I understand why Elder Scrolls kind of had to do it because that if you don't, it'll feel noticeably cheaper than
right.
Like Skyrim. Like, but like Final Fantasy 14 does the WoW thing where, you know, quest givers just have text and you read it and it's fine to me.
Right. Like I say, it's just that disconnect. It just drives me wild. WildStar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're not playing anything else and you really want something that's completely different, go for it. I mean, the other problem for me is I have to run it on low settings in my PC and I barely get 30 frames per second.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not super far and I'm like level 6 or something in the open beta right now, but I just, you know, like Gabe on Painter Kid's like, oh, the art, I could play it just for that. And it's like, okay, that's great, but I need a little more than that.
Yeah, I can't just look at things that are pretty. I mean, Final Fantasy 14's pretty. It's also good.
And I don't know, the story of the whole world, there's like the two factions, and the ones like the down in their luck, like exiles, who just want to have a nice home to call their own, and the Dominion, who just hates these guys and has to wipe them out. It's like, it's so black and white. It's like.
The whole faction thing. You know, that's another thing I kind of like about Final Fantasy 14. Like, there's no real PvP in it yet. I'm almost fine with it.
There's, like, arenas,
yeah,
like a tournament
like,
kind of thing, right?
Like the thing where it's like, yeah, there's these two factions, and boy, do they hate... Like, the other faction are the enemy NPCs, you know?
Right.
I just kind of like it more. All right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, everyone talks about this game like it's the second coming. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. I played MOB 14 the show, and I reviewed it on PlayStation 4.
How'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I mean, you know, again, It's rough for that series, because that series, their game has been good for years, but they just, you know, they have to always make the new one, and it's like, you know, you're gonna get a little familiar with it, you know?
I'm worried that game's starting to become a victim of feature creep, because it's like, because they are like, oh, we have to do something new. Like, aren't there, like, three different ways to pitch?
There are, which is that's kind of fine. I mean, there's the one that I stick to, the Pulse one, but yeah. Well, because like the one, because like usually what it is when they need a big thing, like the 1 year the analog pitching and hitting was the big deal, and now it's like a option in all the other ones that no one really uses.
Right, like that's like what happened like to default. Madden.
Yeah. Like, well, because, you know, you gotta add something besides a roster. And, I mean, so, besides all that, I mean, this is the next-gen one. And, it, you know, it looks nice, but it's not wow. It doesn't, like, NBA 2K on Xbox One kind of wowed me a bit. This isn't really wowing me, I want to say. I mean, you know, again, like, and one of the things, you know, this show's always looked good, right? It's like, yeah, well, yeah. Does this look good? Yeah. I mean, it did before. I guess it looks a little better, but, you know, it's not, like, rock. And there still are, like, little things, like, facial hair looks weird. Like, some of the background elements look low res when, like, the camera zooms in on them. Like, the building looks fine when you see it, like, how you should, like, from the batter box. But, like, when the camera's zooming in on a home run, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And, like, the one new feature is called quick counts. And it's, like, supposed to, because, you know, how everyone complains, baseball's too slow a game. Baseball's too slow, which I can't freaking stand that. But so, like, their thing is like, oh, so we have quick counts. So when you go up to bat, you're already in the middle of a count. So maybe it'll be 3 balls, 2 strikes, or 2 balls, 1 strike. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, because, like, you're supposed to earn your counts. It's like, that is the game. That is baseball. Right. You get 3 strikes, so you're out. Well, it's just, I don't understand what you would want to. And, you know, some people are like, oh, it's not really random. It's based off a player statistic and probability. It's random as far as I'm concerned, because I don't know what the hell it's going to be.
Yeah, it's like playing a football game as a receiver, and at the beginning of the play, you're just somewhere out in the open field, and maybe the ball's coming to you, and maybe it isn't.
Right, it's like, yeah, it's like, my analogy, my rule is like, it's like you're playing chess, and like, some guy just comes in and like, takes away half your pawns randomly. You're like, okay. I could have just played and had those pawns eliminated. And I don't know. If you don't have time to play a baseball game, play something else. This quick count thing's dumb to me. I mean, it makes it faster, I guess, but yeah. But, I mean, God, you know, and if you like that series and you have a PlayStation 4, it's fine to get still. Like I said, I still always enjoy playing that game a lot. I still love Road to the Show, playing my pitcher and all that stuff. It's just, I kind of hope the next year is a bit more like, wow, I can't believe how like borderline photorealistic this looks.
Yeah, I think they were more concerned this year with making sure the next-gen version was feature-complete.
They were. Cause
not having that thing where, like, you go to next-gen, a bunch of modes are missing, so yeah, maybe that means next year they'll focus more on that.
That was the big deal they made, because I think they had that problem with the first PlayStation 3 MLB The Show. So they were very, yeah, they worked really hard that wouldn't be the problem. And, you know, it's good that it is all feature-complete. Because, I mean, if it wasn't, then it'd be a shit show. But, I mean, you know, you can't wow me with just that. That's good, but it's almost kind of expected. It's like, if you don't do that, then, yeah, you failed.
Right.
But I don't want you to just, you know, not fail. I want you to, like, blow my mind. All right, what's the community up to?
So, earlier this week, on Sunday, was Star Wars Day, yeah. May 4th. Which sparked a fun little discussion about some of our favorite Star Wars games, started off by Mr. Alex Connolly. So let me read through some of the responses, and then I'll ask you yours.
Okay, Doug.
So Jay Loretta very quickly went to Knights of the Old Republic, which is, I'm sure, a popular choice for most people. His honorable mentions go to the SNES Super Star Wars, the pod racing game on PS2, Super and Star The Force Unleashed.
Super Star Wars was always way too hard for me.
Yeah, when we were kids, cool. No way.
Okay, what else?
Kevin Lockwood was going to say KOTOR, but then he remembered Shadows of the Empire on the
N64. Deal.
That was the first time we went to Hoth. Yeah.
You know, it may not have aged well, but at the time it was a neat game. Like, the shooting aspects of it especially are kind of rough now, but it was a cool thing.
Right. My friend Bill Lyon commented, you'll like this, on Rebel Assault 2 for the PC.
I love
that. Not only for the game, but for the cheat code that did the Mystery Science Theater 3000 mode.
I love that. We need boots. Good boots.
Good boots.
that was a campy game, man.
Oh, that was great fun. Alex did his as a deck of cards, calling the King TIE Fighter, the Queen Jedi Outcast.
You liked Jedi Outcast a lot.
I like Jedi Outcast a lot. The Ace Pod Racer, the Jack, Empires at War, Galactic Battlegrounds, or Rebellion.
Which one of those was the Age of Empires clone?
Galactic Battlegrounds, I believe.
I liked that one.
And the Joker as Jedi Power Battles, Yoda Stories, or Star Wars Demolition.
I forgot about Jedi Power Battles.
Yeah. Stuart Simpson went to Republic Commando.
That's a fun game.
Which, of course, also made people think of the original Dark Forces.
Yeah.
Jeff Parsons' top three, Dark Forces, Republic Commando, and KOTOR, which I skipped. And his honorable mention goes to SWOTOR, which is the only love that game got, and he spelled it wrong, so... Jay Loretta talked about the Lego Star Wars games, and Mark Whiting popped in again with TIE Fighter, KOTOR, and Republic Commando. Muhammad wasn't a big Star Wars kid, it turns out.
Weird.
But he liked Dark Forces and Yoda stories. and Dami Onofalken ended up with TIE Fighter all day, every day.
We missed that TIE Fighter boat, didn't we?
Well, I had X-Wing Allegiance, I believe it was, which was the kind of third game that series, but not as well liked. But the big deal was you weren't in the Millennium Falcon, but it was the same model of ship as the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
The thing was, they were pretty complicated games at the time I tried to play them. I wasn't ready for that level of complexity. I mean, they were Sims.
That's it. Yeah, I guess that's why I never got, because I just wasn't, I think I was maybe a little young when they were big. I hate to be obvious, but I probably would say KOTOR is the best one.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably my favorite as well, but I'm trying to think outside the box a little bit. Well, actually, you know, it's one that I really like.
I know, the that arcade doesn't Star come Wars up. Game.
Oh, that's a good call. I wasn't even going to say that.
I love that arcade Star Wars game. I'll tell you
what, that's fantastic.
I know which one doesn't get enough love, but you go ahead.
I was going to say Starfighter, and even it's much underappreciated and in a superior sequel, Jedi Starfighter.
Those were fun
I games. Love those games.
Because they were more arcadey than the Rogue Squadron games.
Yeah.
Those were fun games. Yeah, those didn't get much. Those didn't get.
Yeah, no one brought up Rogue Squadron at all on this list. Any of them.
Yeah.
Those were, you know.
You know, I always like Rogue Squadron. It was always kind of hard for me for some reason.
But well, the Rogue Squadron games always broke down. There was inevitably that mission where there was some, freighter, and it was being attacked by TIE bombers, and I just, no matter how many TIE bombers I destroyed, that thing blew up. And it's
I don't know why. Just, the objectives would get hard. I always lose. I mean, but still, Rogue Leader, that first level of it that just recreates the end of A New Hope, that's awesome.
Oh,
I
love
that. I could play that level all day.
Yeah, sure.
I tell you, I know it didn't set the world on fire, but I feel like The Force Unleashed doesn't get a fair shake. I know they had a sequel that was mediocre, but that was a fun game.
I played
game.
That game in a single sitting.
Yeah, it was a fun game.
I loved it.
It was just, the way it handled the sort of force powers and the kind of combo lightsaber fights, I thought it was a neat game.
And the story wasn't complete shit.
It wasn't terrible.
It actually did a fairly decent job of, setting up Episode 4.
Right. It's not canon anymore.
But no, it's not.
But,
Starkiller does not exist. There's, I was just going to say, too, because you mentioned it. Jedi Outcast was a really good one, in my opinion. I always liked the Jedi Knight games, and that one just really refined everything.
You know, the one I played was Jedi Academy, actually, which had a great... I loved the way it controlled and stuff, but, the story was dumb. But it was fun.
Yeah.
All right, it's KOTOR.
Yeah, KOTOR for sure.
I want to thank. I had a couple people, including Muhammad and somebody reached out to me on message, and now I can't remember. I think it was Dammy, maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up. Someone else reached out to me, and now I can't remember. I feel sorry, but yeah, people were trying to help me with my arcade stick problems, where I want to get one.
Right. And Pete said something on the Google Plus community too.
I think maybe it was. It might say something to you. And a lot of people reached out to me.
No, he did. It's a matter of fact.
Yeah,
I'm looking right at it.
I know. I don't know if he's the one who messaged me, but I don't think it was.
Okay.
But yeah, so people have been helping out. And, they're expensive, so I'm going to wait a little bit here.
I said, too, there are stuff that the one Pete has works on PC, PS3, and 360, but now you kind of want to, if you're going to do it, let's get some ones that work with PS4 and Xbox One.
Well, there aren't any that do that anyways.
Not yet. I mean, it's still early.
I know, but I don't know if there will be. But, I mean, there's a couple I'm looking at. So, thanks, everybody. All right. Releases. What came out this month? Well, the God of War Collection came out on the Vita, which is actually just God of War 1 and 2.
Right. That's out on PS3.
I don't know why I thought it came with 3. There's that one version that they released that has, God of War 1, 2, 3, and the 2...
PSP ones.
Because they all got PlayStation 3 releases. So that'd be kind of neat.
They haven't made a Vita God of War yet, have they?
No, they haven't, actually.
Yeah, that's odd.
It's kind of weird, because they made two... I would almost like to see those the PSP ones ported, because the only one I didn't finish was Ghost of Sparta. And I liked Chain of Olympus a lot.
Actually. Yeah, I did too. That's the only God of War I finished.
I finished, yeah, pretty much all of them. There's always games I like a lot that don't really think too much about. Borderlands 2 version of, I don't know if the full game's out, but like you can get with that bundle now because they have the Slim Vita. So Borderlands.
Yeah, the full one will come out Tuesday, along with the patch that actually lets you do the cloud saving.
That's cool. So what do you think? I guess you can only do two players now. I'm kind
of... Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, but yeah, it's at the same time, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I played Borderlands 2 by myself pretty much the entire time anyway.
Right. I mean, there's a part of me that does kind of want to get it, but there's also a part of me that's like, I don't want to play the beginning of Borderlands 2 again.
Right. Peggle 2 came out on the Xbox 360 now, so...
There you go.
Yeah. And that's pretty much...
Okay.
Week. All right. I think that was next week on Mario Kart, or is that a little later in the month?
No, it's like the last day of May.
Oh, man, I freaking want Mario Kart. All right, thanks for listening.
I'm still waiting for Watchdog reviews to finally start happening.
When's that come out?
May 25th?
Really?
Something like that? Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us at Twitter, on Facebook. You can... go to our Google Plus community. Tell us your favorite Star Wars game was, or start a new conversation, or join in any of the new ones that pop up. We're going to go to iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.